The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Chombe, and it's that time of the morning that we discuss business, economic affairs. But let's look at Imba and come back shortly.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Yeah, it's the 28th of October, 2025. We have 2 days before, the beginning of November. And as we are always indicating, we are progressing at an understandable pace, and you must thank yourself when you are reaching this point in time. You must be able to thank yourself that, it has not been as you expect. The fact that you are awake, the fact that you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia, your number one talk radio station. This is your economic conversation. This is where we educate each other. This is where we look at issues of governance, issues of development, and also issues of trade. And it's always very important to believe in yourself, and it's also very important to make sure that you have positive thinking, particularly in this in this world. Not only to have positive thinking, but your positive thinking must be accompanied by hard work and moving toward your goals. The fact that you still have your goals in your mind, it doesn't mean that cannot be achieved. So it's up to you. What do you do? Who do you stay with? Who do you spend most of the time, with? And what do you spend most of the time, doing? Because there is a saying to say the definition of your future, is defined by what you spend most of your time doing, who you are spending it with. If you are spending your time at a sport bar, for 8 hours of the day, and, ask yourself, how is your life going to be in the next 8 years? Or in the next 5 years or so, if you spend, 8 hours of your day, at work, reading or planning or doing business or doing something which is productive, even, the aspect of, making sure that your health is in order, make sure that you exercise, make sure that, you do what is good to others, then you'll be a positive citizen who is healthy, and also who is contributing to national development. And you will not have a lot to regret, especially when you get old, because time wasted is income lost, and it will never come back. And you don't know how strong you are going to be if you don't use that time of your, of the day. So today, like any other day, we start with international news to see what is really happening, what is happening around the world, especially looking at the continent of Africa. Let us look at Cameroon. It was, with the aspect of Cameroon, it was stated that, there have been, protests, and also, there have been some protests, and, there have been also, some opposition leaders who clash with the government of Cameroon after the president, Paul Biya, was declared the winner, and after also, being declared the president to take, another term, and this is stated to be the eighth term and the 92-year-old leader of Cameroon continue to lead in that part of the world. And you know, there is an outcry, especially when it comes to, you know, opposition leader due to you know, crying of unfairness and also rigging of elections. And it's quite very important to look at this. Stated that Cameroon Paul Biya declared winner of presidential elections amid deadly protest. And let us look at what is happening in Cameroon, and you know, what is the stability of the country at this point in time, and how is the new term of Paul Biya going to be? How is the new term of Paul Biya going to be? Let us look at this news and move forward.
Est ainsi proclamé élu président de la République.
Cameroon's Constitutional Council on Monday declared long-serving President Paul Biya the winner of the country's October 12th presidential election, extending its rule that has spanned more than four decades. It was announced by Clement Atangana, president of the Constitutional Council in Yaoundé. According to official figures, Biya secured 53.66% of the vote, defeating his former ally, turning challenger, Issa Chiruma Bakari, who received 39.19%. The council said the voter turnout stood at 57.7%. The announcement came a day after violent clashes erupted in several cities. In the economic capital, Douala, security forces opened fire on demonstrators protesting alleged electoral fraud, leaving at least four people dead, according to local reports. In northern city of Garoua, opposition supporters also took to the streets. On social media, Chiruma accused security forces of firing on civilians, claiming two people were killed in his hometown.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially when it comes to Cameroon. But there's a very interesting news, actually, coming from Ghana. You know, apart from elections in Africa, apart from extension of terms in African politics, you know, and also maintaining of power. Looking at Ghana, it was stated that Ghana, the Minister of Education in Ghana, make local language compulsory in schools, and it was stated that the new policy, you know, which started on Friday, calling for a decisive stop toward, you know, I mean, a decisive steps actually toward the improving of learning outcome and also protecting Ghana cultural identity. So that is one of the move from Ghana. They officiate and also made sure that when it's coming to education, language of instruction, they decided to make sure that, you know, children are being taught in their local languages. And it was stated that this you know, decision is supported by the research by UNESCO, World Bank, that has long shown that children learn faster, more confidently, when they are taught in their mother tongue, especially during the early years of schooling. So imagine the concept of algebra being simplified in your own language. How difficult, how easy is it going to be, particularly when you are learning in your local languages? And also, what are some of the interests that children will be able also to have, especially when they are learning in their mother tongue? And it's quite a very important development, especially from the decolonial scholars, and also those who have been decolonial activists, particularly the decoloniality of language, to say the language of colonizer sometimes make it very difficult for people to understand, improve, and also expand their knowledge and thinking, particularly when it's coming to learning in their local languages. So if we can communicate in our local languages, what is so difficult for us to learn, and also what is so difficult for us to formalize and use that local language at the school level, particularly when it's coming to learn, not only as a language, but also as a language of instruction when you are learning mathematics, when you are learning, when you are learning, science. Why can't you learn when you are learning environmental studies? You are learning, natural science. Why can't you learn that in your local languages? Could it be different from when you are learning it in the language that you are also struggling to understand, that you also do not really know the cultural identity, and you also do not really know the full version of that language? Because, you know, they are saying language has identity, is defining where you are coming from, is defining also your cultural norms, and it's not only a language of being spoken or being written, but it's also defining how you are, your pride, and also your traditional norms and beliefs. So that is what's happening in in Ghana, especially when it comes to using of local language, especially at the primary school level. It is very important to look at this news, and also to see how it's going to happen, and also some of this development.
The Director General of GES is here. You have emphasized that we should shift focus to basic education and to improve learning outcomes at the basic level. Mr. President, the story is told of a young girl whose teacher somewhere in the Ashanti region went in and was waxing English, teaching at that early stages of development. Then the child told the teacher that eya kachi kakrana mentiase. So Mr. President, in line with that and with your authority, I'm directing the Director General of the Ghana Education Service and the GES that from today, teacher use of mother tongue instruction is now compulsory in all Ghanaian schools. The GES is to ensure strict enforcement of this. That child, that Ghanaian child, was not born into an English family, but a proud Asante Akan family, and deserves to learn. This is part of President Mahama's reset agenda.
Those were the words of the Minister of Education in Ghana, that is Haruna Indrisu, and indicated that, gave an instruction to say at a primary school level, all the subjects must be taught in local language, and it's promotion of identity, and it's also, supported by the study by UNESCO and World Bank, especially if you are taught in your mother tongue, that children show that they can learn fast, more confident when they are taught in their mother tongue. So China did it, Russia have done it, many other countries have done it, and even in the subject, critical subject of engineering, because imagine you're already struggling with the language of English, you're already struggling with the language of that of what is called the official language, although the background of that language is not within the country where you are operating from. At the same time, when you are trying to learn this language, you are also forgetting where you are coming from. Imagine you do not have books and manuals which are published in your local language, particularly in those subjects. How beautiful is going to be, especially in creation of opportunity, particularly to the language teachers and language educators, in translation, and also in making sure that the materials are available in the local languages and people will be able to learn. It's quite interesting, because remember, when a teacher is learning, for example, physics, or is learning mathematics at a secondary level education. Let me say a teacher is studying toward a bachelor's degree in education, in mathematics and physics, for example. What is required at a university level is a teacher to pass beyond 50%. Is a teacher to pass beyond 50%. Imagine that somebody who just got a D, then able to get... Let's go to Boom. You're safe and come back.
Why pay more when you can pay less at YouSave? 400 milliliter Dawn hand and body lotion or cream, just $29.99. 350 milliliter trusted palm olive shampoo and conditioner, just $38.99 each. Lovey's premium disposable nappies, $133.99. Any 2 1-kilogram bags Sunlight 5-in-1 hand washing powder, just $58. Save $2. You save, I save, we all save at YouSave.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of economic development and issues which are affecting our bread and butter. And education is part of the center of economic development, because if you do not have educated human capital, if you do not have educated people who understand where they are coming from, who understand subjects in and out and can contribute to the national development, then you are still struggling. Because remember, I was giving an example of somebody who went to school and studied for a bachelor's degree in education, for example, in mathematics and physics, just to give an example. These are some of STEMA subjects. Now, the standard of a university in most cases is that you are required to pass beyond 50%. You get 50% in your assignment, then you get 50 in your exam. In some incidents, it's 40% to 60%. But at that line, imagine somebody just got all the D's in physics and then mathematics, and you expect that person to teach physics and mathematics to children. What you need to understand is that this person, when he or she was at university, was already also struggling, just managed to get the minimum requirements. How do you expect this person to teach students to the best of his abilities and they become better? Because there are also chapters within, field that that person does not understand. And there are also chapters that person is going to dodge somehow, because there is no clear measurement to say if a teacher completed a certain subject, the teacher is an expert in that subject, that person just passed with the minimum requirement in that module, so that person be able to get a degree. But there's also nobody who can go there and test really to say this person is competent, this person is able to answer all the questions. That's why we are indicating to say, if teachers are already struggling, or educators are already struggling to learn subject matters that they are teaching, why can't we simplify it and also putting it in the language that we understand? I'm not saying that maybe I should start doing it now, but maybe something that we need to think in the future, because we have a lot of things that we are trying to put in places. But looking at the future, how is the promotion of local languages, particularly when we are dealing with issues of education? Because Ghana said no. Enough is enough, and from this month, they gave instruction to all educators to make sure that when it comes to teaching and learning at the primary level, people must be able to use the local language. And it's quite a development. It's quite a development, because if those who are learning are already struggling, how will we understand engineering completely if we cannot even put it in our own language? How can we communicate? And also, how interesting is going to be, especially when it's coming to unlock the mind and the thinking? Because remember, those who have learned languages will be able to understand that when you are learning a new language, it will open part of your brain, and also expand your creativity, and also expand your level of intelligence, particularly when you are learning a new language. But if you are going deep into it to say, let me not just use my local language to get water or to communicate the basic communication, but let me operate with it at the business level, at you know, at the level of university too. Because imagine having an MBA written in Koikoi Koap, for example, or written in Afrikaans to say, or written in Damara, or written in in Ocherero. An MBA from business school written in Ocherero. How easy is it going to be to do business at that sector? How easy is it going to be to understand the in and out of that sector? Imagine somebody simplifying the engineering module at the university level in Oshiwambo. How interested is that person going to be? And how interested are the students going to be? And how productive are they going to be? Because instead of struggling, fighting with the language already that is difficult to understand, learning in the local language would be another way to go that we need to think in the future too, especially when it comes to address issues of local. Now, let us look at Mali before we come at home, before we come and look at the statement by the President of Republic of Namibia, and also at the same time the Minister of Industry, Mines and Energy. And we're going to look at that statement after this news of Mali. It was stated that the court in Mali capital sentenced the former Prime Minister Mossou Mara 1 year in prison on Monday, convicting the prominent politician over social media post expressing solidarity with political prisoners in case of critics see as crackdown and under the military leader of Colonel Assimi Goïta. It's indicated that former Mali Prime Minister was sentenced to 2 years in prison just from a social media post after showing solidarity with political prisoners. You know, any single move that you are making in a dictator environment is a dangerous move, especially when you are disagreeing, especially when you are high rank. That's why the problem of military leadership is that most of the rights are suspended, whether we can say we like it or not. The moment you have somebody who has a gun and is on that highest a chair on the land or highest seat on the land, you don't have a right. You cannot speak like the way you are speaking here. You will be running and you will be speaking under the table. And some people end up 6 feet under, especially in military leadership, because look at the Sahel region. Look at the Sahel region. Although there are positive aspects which cannot be denied, particularly from the military leaders within Sahel regions, must we also be able to understand that they are also subject of operation, subject of oppression, especially to those who disagree. Because in this world of civilization, disagreement was supposed to be something that is encouraged, as long as they are not threatening the peace of the state. Arguments and also disagreeing on policies, but when you are challenging, the military leadership, especially in Mali, stated that the former prime minister sentenced to 2 years just by tweeting, just by writing a post on Facebook, just by writing a post on Instagram or LinkedIn, showing solidarity with those who are political prisoners. And it's already stated that a person is jailed. And, now you are also asking yourself to say, in that case of jailing a former prime minister, who is in charge of prosecution, especially in the in that aspect? Is it the military, leaders? Is that how the law has been, or the law has been changed? And is the judicial system compromised, or is a question of concern to say, in most cases, when you look at transition in government, you'll be able to see that the judiciary also accept what's coming. That's why you end up finding the same judge was and it's quite contradictory, actually. You find the same judge who was presiding over, for example, apartheid laws, when things are transition come, so saw the same judge who also presiding over the laws of post-colonial country. And you can also find, after a certain coup, the judicial system start also interpreting the law based on the leader who is there. Then you are also starting to say that, in that circumstances, in that situation, most of the countries, especially those who are under military leadership, are doomed, especially when it's coming to the protection of human rights and also the rule of law. Because anything, anyhow, must make sure that you are praising that of who is in power. And the citizens are on their own on that regard. So let us look at this news, and we can come back at home, particularly when we are going to look at the statement of the President of the Republic of Namibia and the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy. Just to get
A court in Mali has sentenced former Prime Minister Moussa Mara to 1 year in prison over a social media post. The verdict was delivered in Bamako on Monday. Mara was found guilty of undermining the credibility of the state and opposing legitimate authority. The sentence includes an additional 1 year suspended term and a fine of nearly $900. The case stems from a July post where Mara mentioned meeting with political prisoners and vowed to seek justice. He has been incarcerated since August 1st. Mara's lawyer Muntaga Toll stated this is not the end, confirming they were considering their next steps. An anonymous associate of Mara said they anticipated the ruling, questioning what exactly is the crime. Mali is currently ruled by a military leader that seized power in coup in 2020 and 2021. This sentencing is seen by many observers as part of a broader crackdown on dissident under the transitional government.
Yeah, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are looking at international and continental news, especially when it's coming to the development in Africa. And you're also asking yourself to say, political stability is a driver of economic development, and the political stability of Africa is one of the main base setter, especially when it's coming to fully operation of African continental free trade area. How are we going to navigate these circumstances? Do we have peace in SADC? Do we have peace in East Africa? Do we have peace in Central Africa? Do we have peace in the West and the northern part of Africa? And how are these aspiration of Africa, Agenda 2063, and also Africa Continental Free Trade Area going to be realized? And remember, business cannot succeed. Business cannot expand where there is war. Investors will not come to you when there is war, whether it's domestic investors or it's foreign direct investors. Because when you're looking at what's happening in Africa, also ask yourself to say, is this political system the one that we hoped for? Or do we need to end? We need to amend? Or do we need to find a way on how we can redesign without totally abolishing the political system that is being used? Because remember, you cannot go anywhere without peace and stability. And the doom is not only you, it's also the peace in your own of your neighbors and stabilities of your neighbor. Because if you look at what happened between 2001 and 2015 out there, particularly the situation of Zimbabwe, you'll be able to realize that that was not only the disruption of Zimbabwe when it's coming to land grabbing and also international sanction over Zimbabwe. It was the disruption of, the whole of SADC region. It was disruption of the whole of continent. When you look at what happened in Madagascar, it's a disruption of the whole SADC region. It's a disruption of, SADC region, the stability, the trade routes. If you look at what happened in Mozambique last year, you also be able to realize that when South Africa was losing, 20 million every day due to the blockage of, logistic, especially when trucks were not moving anymore, you'll be able to realize that that was also the suffering of Namibia. That was also the suffering of trade. Now, the question that we're asking ourselves is that, how should we, what are the factors that we need to look at, particularly, the factors that, lead to these, chaotic activities, this lead to this instability, this lead to crash of, government and also, the citizen. What are some of the sectors that, we need to look at and also maintain, peace and stability? And, what is very interesting is that, the country like Namibia, we are well known for maintaining peace and stability. How should we also participate in maintaining of peace and stability in the continent and also, peaceful, resolution of, conflicts and, making sure that the environment of doing business is, conducive? Are the African leaders really talking one-on-one? Are they advising themselves on what needs to be done, especially when it comes to promotion of peace, stability, and also the factor of, doing business ethically without, any, interruption? So, going to a short commercial break, then we are going to look at the statement that we have received here, especially, the statement of, the president of, Namibia, and, who is also, currently serving as a minister of, mines, minister of industry, mines and energy. Then from there, we'll look at the discussion for today, especially, is going to be, centered around, the value of domestic financial situation and also the instance or the importance of, supporting domestic businesses and what does it mean to, economic expansion, it's also maintaining of quality lives, particularly, in the informal sector. We're going to look at, that aspect. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at the statement, especially from yesterday, to say what is that the president has to say, especially after, the relieving of, the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy from his role. And people are asking to say what triggered the firing, and also what is this setting the presidency? Is it showing the commitment of the president to toward her vision 2030, toward the implementation of NDP 6, what really triggered? And there's a saying to say one day in politics is equivalent to 1 year, because a lot of things can happen within an hour, particularly on the political ground. That's why it's always important to look and observe the development and also see to say what does this have to do especially with Namibian economy. And what is the impact of this to the Namibian economy? Is it impacting it positively, negatively, or is it maintaining the status quo? And also to look at what has to be said. And there have been a lot of questions to say what really triggered and why reshuffle came so early, and also a lot of questions being asked. So, but for now, let's look at the short commercial break. Look at then we come and look at the statement, and also have questions actually to say how the responsibility is going to be, and especially in this rare occasion, which is constitutionally correct to say the president has power, and to demote, promote, appoint, and also act in a situation that, you know, a certain minister is not the present or is no more, working within that portfolio. Because I remember, I think it's also happened, during, the time of, the founding father. I cannot remember which portfolio at one point, was also acting at a certain ministry while he was, the head of state, especially in situation of changing of guards. And yeah, let us look at this and, come back shortly.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
staff. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And we are looking at Namibia economic development. We are looking at continental affairs. We are analyzing politics and governance. And also to look at how are these conversations going to assist Namibians, especially the laymen, the ordinary Namibian, to benefit and also to participate in economic activities, and how are we going to reach, Vision 2030? How are we going to reach, Vision 2030? And how are we going to support, national priorities, especially, when it comes to the development of the country? What is our role? What role can we play? And, also, how is the dream of, creating 500,000 jobs in, 4 years will be implemented. And, also to say, are we moving at the same pace? Are we on the same page? And yeah, just to look at, the statement. And, we understand that, looking at the background, this, this crucial. So to look at the short background, and people have been seeing on social media and also on print media when a surprising, statement from, our presidency, where, the deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Industry, Mines and Energy was relieved from his duty as a minister by the president. You know, just a few days or just one day after the completion of public-private sector forum meeting. And people have been asking questions to say what really happened, why, and up to now, we still, you know, there's still no clear answer. However, what is very important is that whatever happened, it could be very serious, and it's also the power of the president to make sure that in achieving what she wants, and you have to take difficult decisions. I remember watching the documentary of it's Mwai Kibaki, to say it's not easy being a president, because you let people that you were together with in trenches go. It's painful to see that the people that you have been together with in trenches, people that you have been together with in political battles, going for you, and you have to choose: are you choosing the state or are you choosing a person? That's why, they are always saying, heavy is the head that wear the crown. Heavy is the head that wear the crown, because you have to make a decision to say, are you choosing the country or are you choosing the person? Are you choosing somebody who was loyal to you, or you are choosing the country and what you have promised the people? It's quite very difficult. And as political analyst, you have to see and also understand that in terms of politics, the interest of the institution and the interest of the state has always been, it has to be put above any other things. But but what the president has indicated, especially in addressing the staff of the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy, addressing the staff of a ministry, it's a statement which we'll go through shortly. And you also be able to interpret it yourself, because it's quite general. And it's also quite, just to make sure that, people maintain calm, especially at the Ministry of Mines, at Industry, Mines and Energy, and to allow them to continue, working, and also to make sure that when they are working, they are putting Namibians at heart. And, she stated to say whether you are a cleaner, whether you are an administrator, make sure that you are part of a bigger role, and you are part of a bigger role to achieve national goals. And looking at that statement, not to go deep into it, it was stated that, I'm quoting, "I wanted to speak to you personally today because I know that the recent development in ministry have come as surprising to many of you. I want to assure you that there is no reason to be fearful. This is not time to worry. It is time for renewal, reflection, rededication to the important work that we are all here to do." Unquote. That is an indication to say it's not time to be fearful, but it's time for rededication, and it's also time to reflect and renewal. And looking at the other paragraph, it's also that the president also indicated that, I'm quoting, "When I took the oath of office on the 21st March 2025 this year, I said that the operation within this administration would not be business as usual. That was not a slogan. It was a promise and commitment to doing things differently and build raising the standard of public service across government." Unquote. Now, that is a statement to say, the president stated to say when she came to the office on the 21st of March, she stated that it's not going to be business as usual, things are not going to be the same. And that is exactly what she's doing, and also to uphold the standard of public administration, public service across all government. Now, there's also another statement within this short statement to say, "Each of us, no matter our position or title, has a role to play in that national mission. There is no such thing as a small job in public service, whether you are a cleaner, a driver, security guard, receptionist, administrator, you are part of larger purpose. Without you, this ministry cannot function. Without you, the goal of national development cannot become a reality. That is a word of the president. Let us get the short commercial break. Let us come back.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia reminds all registered voters, November 26, 2025 is the day to cast your vote. Head to the polls and exercise your democratic right by voting. Your vote is your voice, so put your voice in the box to make sure it's heard. Vote on November 26, 2025.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need. Like 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread for only 27 Namibian dollars 99 each. And 10 kgs Sugar King brown sugar for just 169 Namibian dollars 99. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 9 November 2025. Only at ShopRite. Catch Ready Steady Cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, we are moving forward and we are looking at the statement of the president of the country and also the minister of industry, mines and energy. And it's quite very diplomatic and you can interpret it on your own. And it's also a statement of continuity of work within the ministry. And one of the things that also maybe the paragraph that we need to look at before we pack this statement is that change can be uncomfortable, but it is not meant to unsettle you. It meant to strengthen us, remind us why we serve. I have taken responsibility for this ministry to ensure stability, renewed focus and stronger sense of purpose. But as I do so, I want to make it clear that this ministry does not depend on one person. It depends on all of us working together with dedication and unity. Unquote. Then maybe to the last paragraph is just, together we can turn this moment into a change, into a moment of progress and pride. Together we can show that this ministry stands as a pillar of hope, a place where public service truly work for the people of Namibia. I look for your cooperation at all time. Thank you. Now, you know, it was a statement from our head of state, the commander-in-chief, and spoken. And it's actually in democracy. Yes, information are required, but it's actually not... the president has the right to appoint and demote anyone and also does not owe anybody an explanation, although we also want, but that is a prerogative. If she is happy with the work, she's not happy. That is the power that we give the president. And looking at this, it's also, you know, does not mention anything related to the previous head of the ministry, but just to look at working forward. It's also very interesting also to see how are the employees going to perform when now they are directly reporting to the president. How are they going to work? And also, it's actually a new case study in politics. It's a new case study, although not new. It happened before. happened in other countries, to say the president can take over the ministry in a situation that, you know, the head is not there, and in the situation until somebody is appointed. And we have also seen where power shift, particularly in the case of Katima Muriro, where at one point the minister Sankwasa was also heading that you know, local authority, in a situation that the leadership is dismissed until appointing an administrator. Is matter of law, and it's also matters of governance. But the fact of the matter is that this is one of the bold decisions, and it also shows the character of a leader, to say, are you standing with your words, or you are communicating? And you know, it's quite for interpretation, but also to see that what is the direction moving forward, because it's the responsibility of a leader also to make sure that you know, employees and also Namibians are continuing no matter the situation. But yeah, that is what we can say, but it's up to you to interpret and also move on. And it's going to be very interesting to see the development, the outcome, and also moving forward. Yeah, from there, it's 6 minutes past the hour of seven, and you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. Then you can give your opinion, your views, and you can also contribute to the conversation, particularly on what is happening, either it's domestically, regionally, continentally, or internationally, on development of issues and on issues of economy. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we can come straight with the conversation for today, especially when we are going to speak about why is it so difficult to pay a full amount to local businesses. Why do you negotiate with a taxi driver but you cannot negotiate with a plane, to say you are going to Ondangwa, and instead of you paying 3,000, you say, no, I only have 2,500. Can we talk, chief? Or ondina puingapi? But when it's coming to a taxi driver, you are also negotiating. You can even come to the point of saying, no, chief, I only have $9, but just assist me. Or even to the point, I only have nothing. If it's coming to meme in the corner of the street selling tomatoes, you can always negotiate, because you know that meme does not have a fridge. If she did not sell that tomato to you, she will be have nowhere to store them, and you are taking advantage of that situation. But when you are coming to a well-established shop, you are not even thinking about that. It's not even coming into your mind to say you are going to negotiate. If you don't have money, you are just going home and come back, because price is set, and that is business. And what is this? How is, you know, mistreating, undermining, disrespecting of domestic businesses, killing financial circulation, and also killing the operation of those businesses too? And what can we do as Namibians to make sure that we must respect everybody equally, particularly in terms of doing business, no matter the color, no matter the background, no matter the surrounding of that person. And it's also worse when you are coming to support the business of your friend. We have a different thing to say. No, I know the guy is my friend, but business is business. If it's your friend, it must be friendship. But if it's come to business, you must respect that person. But we're going to look at that to say, in terms of supporting domestic businesses, what is matters? Why? What is the value of supporting domestic businesses? And what is the value of supporting especially the informal sector? And what does it mean to financial circulation, infrastructure development, upliftment of people's lives, and development in general? So let us look at a short commercial break, then we come to that conversation straight on.
Lipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoe ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuwa na kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano akupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka akukwetera oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatimwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mbura hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 12 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are here until the hour of 8, when we are going to give the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. And today, like any other day, we are looking at how do we do things, how can we do things differently, especially when it's coming to domestic businesses. You know, statistics have indicated that when it comes to statistics have indicated that smaller businesses, SMEs, which are registered in Namibia, are contributing between 12 to 15% to the gross domestic product of Namibia. And when you look at that, we'll be able to realize that it's almost the same percentage that the mining sector is contributing to the GDP. Then you are asking yourself to say, this is what is recorded. What about others which are not recorded, particularly the informal sector? How significant is MSMEs in national development, and why does it matter? If you ever ask yourself to say, what would happen if all the informal businesses, all the, some are called unlicensed, some are calling them informal, some are calling them not well structured. Have you ever asked yourself to say, if, for example, those who are selling fardo or farudu at the four-way of Havana, those who are selling Matara in Swakopmund, in Navarres Bay, in Oshakati, in the southern part of Namibia, wherever they are, those who are selling, if they stop selling, what would happen to the Namibian economy? Have you ever asked yourself that if these people continue not to be supported, what would happen to the Namibian economy? Have you ever asked yourself to say, when you have, for example, the budget of 106 billion for 2025, 2026, who are the main contributor of that budget in terms of tax collection, either directly or indirectly. Who are those people who are keeping money circulating in the country? Let's look at IMBA and come back.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. Good morning. Hello?
Yes, David.
Yes, how are you?
I don't know. Yeah.
So what is your contribution? Let's look at that aspect. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. The very first thing that I wanted to ask you is that, do you know of, President Magufuli?
Yeah, I used to follow him.
Tanzania.
Yeah.
Why were you following him?
No, he was known as a bulldozer because he was practical. He was on the ground. When he say, I want the airport to be built here, he stand there until it's standing.
Yeah.
Mm. I also want to contribute there. Was he a good mentor? Looking at what's happening now.
I would compare him right now with Abraham Traore. Yeah, but my question is, do you hear of the same scenarios when the other president take over?
For Tanzania?
Do you somehow hear of a different aspect?
From Tanzania?
Which is, yeah.
No, now he's quite, I'm also scared. I don't know if it's Samia, but it's quite different now, and the democracy is deteriorating there.
The question is, why are we no longer following? What were we following? What was our interest?
Mm.
Our interest was basically because there was actually something that of the African interest.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same way that is actually is now happening in Mali and Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this lady not doing it?
I honestly do not. I'm also surprised because I did not expect that. I don't want to say it's here, but I did not expect Tanzania to operate that way. How can you jail all the opposition leaders and you contest alone?
I only gave you the picture.
No, I know.
Everybody
I get
that is actually listening to get the picture.
Yeah.
And why is the West quiet?
I know.
Haven't heard of the West media talking about it.
I hear you.
Canceling democracy or something like that. It's just a clear picture that I'm trying to pitch out here.
No, I hear you.
Because for me, I was trying to convince my conviction is refusing and say, no, there is something there.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
By way, the West is also quiet. If it was somebody else, yeah.
If you go to BBC, CNN, ABCs and all of them.
Yeah.
Even the newspapers. We follow the newspapers.
Yeah, yeah.
Reuters and all of them. The New York Times and all those. You won't find any articles about that. Even of the Paul Biya of Cameroon, whoever that one, who was now declared that he is the winner.
Yeah.
You won't hear.
Ne?
Yeah. That will give you a clear picture.
It's a narrative.
Should we call it narrative?
Oh, okay. I'm yet to confirm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just something that I somehow put out there for each and everybody to think. Yeah, who is actually interested in politics and then also in the well-being of the African continent.
Yeah.
Yeah, to see exactly, once you, okay, I don't want to say, okay, there is one thing that I have always, wanted to say, ne?
Yeah.
Chombe, have you noticed, ne?
Mm-hmm.
You look at, the road from, the old Van Eyck power stations, that's NamPower now. It used to be Monde Crypto Services, but now they rename it, Enya's Peter Nanyemba.
Yeah.
One of our brave veterans.
But people are still calling it Monte Cristo.
Yeah. You follow that road, is under construction.
Yeah.
Alongside that road, there were some business activities. The municipality, I don't know whether that they forgot that they have the responsibilities on their shoulder to create a conducive environmental for informal businesses or for businesses to take place. Now, once you go along that road, there are no provisions left for those people who are having car washes and bars and something like that today.
Yeah.
There's no provisions.
Yeah.
And then that road itself, even if you have a breakdown of your own car, you will block the whole traffic.
It's a very good observation, that one. Okay.
No alternative left. Nothing. No provision is actually left.
Yeah.
I don't understand why do these people does this.
No. What's it? Yeah.
You go up to Havana Bus Stop.
Yeah.
Now Havana Bus Stop, it's one of the places where the vendors and the capanas and everything actually is being sold. Construction is taking place.
Yeah.
No provision is actually made. I don't understand where are the heavy inspectors there in window.
Yeah.
Or perhaps maybe the informal sector is actually left there to be on its own. They just don't care. Maybe they only comes when the hepatitis or whatever that disease is broke out. And they come and complain is an influx.
Yeah.
You just don't understand. Are we under the leadership or we should just be on our own? And then you go to the main Havana bus stop itself. You should go there and witness yourself.
The business area. The four-way.
It's under stuff. Under dust. And it has taken them almost 10 to 5 years to actually make sure these people's here, this food that are actually eating, or even the whole environmental itself, it should be a human habitat.
Yeah.
But it's not. Once the one could have thought on each and every corner of that four-way, a certain a structure actually set up for people to do their what? Their businesses selling kapanas, matangaras, traditional vegetables, omboga, and so on. You see, ija, usira, all those things.
And that is where people are.
And that is where most people go. If you pick up your shivererwa from there going home.
Yeah.
That market, it's a market by itself.
Yeah.
But the municipality is not even taking any action to see we need to set up. This is the whole structure is already set up by the people themselves.
What
the municipalities have to come is just to set up a structure, which is of good structures. But they are not doing it. And the other thing, the city of Windhoek, the traffic, has been going around writing people who are standing on the road. But when you look at that road, the way it's being constructed, there's no provision for a taxi lane, even for their bus, for their buses.
I want to understand who came up with that plan, and is that part of town planning, or how come you come up with such an accommodative road structure? And I did not see that before. Why is it like that?
I have gone around Windhoek, even in the northern industry,
Komasdal,
or wherever around, or even trying to observe whether it's the same way, the way it's structured. It's not. I don't know.
but it's a very good observation also to say what is the reason of that, and why you did not follow the way the previous contractor did the work, because there was already a road there at some point.
Yeah, there was already a road.
Yeah, but it was not like that. But what is the disadvantage of that to business? I think it's a very good thing that you have raised, and people must speak about these things to say when you are planning your town, and we also end up contradicting ourselves, because when you listen, for example, I was surprised when I attend public private sector forum when the BON governor spoke about the informal sector, and he gave a very good speech to say, why are we busy developing? Let us service this land. Let us bring facilities to these people. But now, if you are bringing to me a road structure like that, somebody who wants to buy my kapana has to park his car somewhere or his motorbike. But it's like how are you going to do that?
Where am I going to park my car?
Yeah.
Should I push my car now over the pave that is so higher?
No, it's actually...
No, my car is not in wheel alignment, and I can have an accident. It's just of...
No, it's really... Yeah.
Now, the city of Windhoek is going around chasing the vendors.
Kajengo said now, chasing the local products.
Local products.
Away from the market.
If you take a place like Havana Besto, it's actually big. You remove, in every corner, you remove all those, about 20 of them, those shacks. You take them somewhere.
Yeah.
And if one of them are selling there, you say, who is selling here?
Yeah.
Then you gave them a static or something, a space there for them to sell their things. He can, a person can commute from where he resides to come and sell his product there.
You are making
that
a point.
That is where the local product actually is being sold. But the government or the municipality or the authority does not put a structure there. I think one should actually talk to even Minister Sankwasa, because he is now the one that is actually urging these people. So he's on their case, they must do something. And I'm very happy with that man.
Wherever you
find him, give him a hand.
He's practical. Yeah. He's practical.
Wherever you find him, give him a hand. And if he pass there with Domsia, I'll give him that one for him. I'm very happy with that man. Very much happy. When you need a leader like that. We are not really necessarily interested in politics, but we are interested in services, constructive services that improve the livelihood of the Namibian people. That is what we are. That is what our prime interest.
I think you made a very important contribution, especially looking at that payment, because sometimes that is what an ordinary person can benefit from the city. Imagine somebody who. I end up in grade 8, for example. I do not have former postgraduate, I don't have a tertiary education, and I do not have other opportunities. I'm not even thinking or hoping working for a government, for example, but the best I can do is to sell. But you're also coming and block my way. How do you expect a person really to...
Have a car wash that gives me 3,000 at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's a car wash.
Mm.
And then the owner of that place is also get about 5,000 to 6,000. And then we are out there helping our peoples, my kids, and whatever. Now you are taking that away. You want me to go and stand along the robots waiting for somebody to come and pick up. While I have created jobs for myself, The water that is actually being used is being paid. Where does that money go? It goes to the municipalities.
But I think it's
what
also,
does that the municipality has to do with that money?
Mm.
To somehow go and create a conducive environment for people to set up their own business. I don't understand whether we have leaders.
You know, sometimes I look at my friend Sean Garisab, the activist. You know, sometimes you see, sometimes especially activists, they get so frustrated. But when you come to say a person has a point, just understand the person. Don't fight.
You see, people are always having points.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see, I told you the other day, even the labor sectors that Amshirero was fighting.
Yeah.
People think these guys were just being naive.
Yeah.
This is because they don't understand what the guys was actually fighting for.
You are fighting the person.
The guy was fighting for each and everybody.
Yeah.
And then I come up with the question, since when does a police is compelled to solve a labor dispute? You see? You know, I told you 75% or 65% of the labor sector that is decoupled from the central government in terms of revenue collections.
Yeah.
You see? Because these people are not permanently employed. And what does the law say? The law says person can only work for 3 months.
Yeah.
And a person cannot pay a taxi when you work on a contract basis. Mm. Only when you are permanent. Now, these people, they are not paying permanent. They are not employed permanently because they don't want to pay taxes. So these companies are evading taxes.
Yeah.
But they're big companies. What are the turnovers of the ShopRite and all those big companies that are employing people on a contract basis? Big companies.
Mm. You know,
And you know, there's also one thing that concerned me very much, that most people, they don't understand.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we say a government should not involve in private sectors.
Yeah.
But sometimes the government must also try and protect their interests, what they get from the private sector.
Yeah.
You know, I have noticed something. I'm somebody who observes things, look at them and say, oh, okay.
Mm.
This is what they want. We have Namibian Brewery. It was a pure Namibian company.
Yeah.
Together with Distels.
Yeah.
2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was sold, completely sold. I think the author is only left with a very, very, very percentage or so.
Mm.
Was sold by this Nestland. Heineken or so.
And now it's Heineken International.
Yeah. Why did these international companies come and buy that? What are they looking at?
Mm.
They are actually looking at that. Look at, okay, this company carries the weight of this country when it comes to economy.
Mm-hmm.
So once we buy this company, we can then, because this is the only company in this country, and how much money does they make? It's a lot of money.
Per second.
So when they bought this company, they started not producing or even supplying some of the product. Their main aim was to create inflation and then raise the price up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make money. And these are the things that we don't understand.
Okay.
There's no control of pricing here in Namibia. So when a company find out they are the one that does this product, then they do that.
Now my question has always been to say, are we occupied with a lot of things? Do we not have focus, or there is fragmentation in terms of who need to do what and what? Because I wanted to bring the aspect, for example, even to speak our own language, to say, with our own curriculum, which is also not balancing, and we are adding again to say, no, let us, I think we have to find a way somewhere, because it's just a lot to do.
My friend David, for me, there are certain things that are actually being happening here and that I don't understand, obviously.
Yeah.
If I was the president one day, I would put a law whereby I could say, look, although, you know, and these people, they are the one of those big international companies that are taking a lot of money out of this country.
Mm.
Untaxed, their profit. Mm. And the government does not even say, okay, you bought this company, most of the money that goes in this company is our money.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the profit is no longer going to be spent here in this country. We are going to impose, we are going to give you a certain percentage of incentive taxes in order for us to get money from your profit. Because that whole profit is now actually going. And whose money is that? It's Namibians' money.
While we are there, because it's 35 minutes past, I want your short opinion about the decision of the president. What do you think?
With regard to the what?
Do the people don't understand the vision of the president, or what do you think? How is that? What do you think? Just your
in terms of what?
Of the decision of relieving the minister on his duty and also taking over the ministry, the critical ministry.
You know. For me, I'll give it 50%. Simple because the reason as to why the person was relieved is not yet clear.
Mm-hmm.
We might jump on conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
What we are actually talking about are speculations. No one really knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah.
You remember very well, I mentioned like things like mining license and EPA or something like that.
Yeah.
When it's actually, because that is one of the reasons, apparently.
Yeah.
Let me say apparently, or let me use allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
That is one of the reason.
Mm.
I came in before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Although it happened a long time ago, as they are actually saying that when an individual is actually being given that license, a state must hold a certain percentage. You see, that is what I said.
Yeah.
A state must hold a certain percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a state can be a silent partner.
Yeah.
Their main aim is just to control and observe.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give them power.
Okay.
You just need somebody to think of something like that. Because even if an individual or an international company buys that, they know that the government have got the right. But we let everything go as it is. And at the end of the day, when we don't have anything to hold on, we cry.
Yes.
Well, Chombe, let me give others.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you, man.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much for your contribution. Always, especially when it's coming to issues of political economy. One of those scholars that, give you straight insight and contribution. But, you know, when it's coming to town planning, when we are sitting there in our boardroom, are we really thinking about people that we are serving? Because as today we speak about accommodating and supporting and promoting of domestic businesses, particularly the informal sector, are we really supporting them? Because looking at the distribution of, looking at the distribution or the contribution to the GDP of the country, looking at the mining sector, for example, looking at the fishing sector, looking at how they are contributing to the GDP of the country, you'll be able to realize that the informal businesses, actually 12% or 15%, is quite a lot of money. And it's almost the same as the contribution of mining to the GDP. Now, the question is that, the critical observation which was stated to say, man, when you look, for example, I don't know what engineering mechanism is that, especially in the construction of this road. I do not understand. Maybe somebody could explain to me to say, is it really business, is it accommodative in terms of business? Or are they planning to be relooked at to say, no, give opportunity to those who want to go to college, those who want to go to businesses? And also, what happened to those who have pavements there? Or is it a new development? Or is it a smart city that you want? Looking at, for example, the City of Windhoek strategic plan. So this is a smart, is it a smart city that we are talking about? But is, how, what are we doing about, it's not only people at Havana Four-Way who have proven to be, effective in the way they do business, although the environment is not okay. What is the city doing about it? It also happened in other towns. It's not only Windhoek. It's also happened in other towns where you find people are so concentrated at the place because the place is so strategic. It's surrounding the, you know, it's at, you know, at the meeting points of people. It's where people get their hikes. It's where people also, it's at the crossroads where people, you know, some are going to work, some are going to their houses. It's a meeting point of events. But the way these places have been so undeveloped for quite some time is also worrying. To say, if somebody, you took an auditor or you took a financial analyst to do a study, to say within 2 hours, in terms of financial security, how much money is circulating within, for example, Havana Four-Way? How much money? Within an hour, how much money is circulating? And where is that money going to be? How much money is made within 2 hours? You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. You'll also be surprised to say, even those who do not have access to finance, the money that is circulating is the money that is also going to pay, for the infrastructure of this country. And what is interesting is also that these people always keep money in circulation because they have to sell, make profit. At the same time, when they make profit, they also buy things for their kids. They send money at home. But at the same time, is contributing nationally, and when you use that money to build an infrastructure, that is how development should be. But the question is always to say now, how can we support the people who need assistance? How can we support the people? Because somebody, imagine if somebody already has a master's degree and failing to find a job, but somebody is busy, who just end up in grade 6 and say, no, let me do my business, let me sell at this critical and important Four-Way. But at the same time, you come and build a structure that is not accommodating, clients to come. Do you know that the people can move from different part of side of town to come to Havana Four-Way? It's not only Havana Four-Way. If every other informal sector, particularly where you find, people securing to look for clients. Go to Swakopmund, go to Lavis Bay, go to Oshakati, go to Enana, go to any other parts of towns. There is always that informal sector that those people just need infrastructure. You can speak about Omatara and many others, but those people just need infrastructure. And also assistance in the technical know-how of doing business. But the question has always been to say, with 15%, with 12 to 15% of MSME contribution to the GDP, what other things have been done to make sure that these people are supported? Are they part of our planning? Are they part of our main discussions? And also the question to clients also to say, why do we pay much money to well-established businesses but to our ordinary people, to our black people, to our, not only black people, but to our ordinary people who, not only black people who are suffering in Namibia, especially everybody is suffering. Although the majority you can say is that to our own people who started business. Because if I find my friend Van Veek selling cabbage from the boot of his car, I do say, no, Meneer, let us negotiate. But if I go to an established business, because now Van Veek is no more there, because his business closed down because I was not able to buy at the right price. At that business I go, if I don't have money, nobody can even talk to me to say, Chief, how much do you have? Are we really thinking that the reason the people who are selling us at an informal sector are giving us discount is what they want? Because they do not have other alternatives, because other people, they come and ask for discount again. But a discount of a poor person is one way back to poverty. So it's a conversation that need to be expanded. It's a conversation that is not only one directed, but you know, you can be able to contribute to the conversation, especially when it comes to what needs to be done, when it comes to the business, when it's coming to smaller businesses, domestic businesses, how can we support them? And what is the meaning of financial securitization? And it will be also very interested also to see the statistics of employment indicate to say there was one conversation which indicated to say 58% of Namibians who are employed are employed in the informal sector and by the SMEs. Now, looking at, for example, our priorities of creating 500,000 jobs, where are these jobs going to be created from? Is it apart from oil and gas and other emerging industries, which are also struggling to create these jobs? How can we expand the informal sector? How can also support SMEs in promotion of these businesses? And also realizing the issue of 500,000 jobs. You know, somebody gave a calculations to say, yes, if we want to create 500,000 jobs by 2030, it's a calculation which was done to say we must be able to produce this number within a day, this number within a month, this number within a year, that we can be able to reach our goal. In terms of our tracking and calculation, where are we? And it's quite, you know, not really to say it's scary, but it's also quite something that should also bring us to our sense to say, let us be diverse in our strategy of doing things and give those who are trying fuel to move forward. So, let's look at the short commercial break, then we'll come and look at the conversation. But for now, let's look at the caller and move forward. Hello?
Yes, Mr. David Chombe.
Yes, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Mm.
So, yes, you have really spoken. So, the political instability is it's one of the causes that really delay our development.
Now,
if there's no peace,
yeah.
If there's no, you know, everybody is affected. So we need to at least to guard against anything we want to disrupt our peace.
Yeah.
Even with democracy, they say, yeah, this one is for the fourth term or whatever. So, honestly speaking, I just don't understand why people want to disrupt peace. When they will not make progress, when there's no country in any way that makes progress. So we seriously need to make sure that we protect and promote democratic values. So that in order for us to prosper, whether in West Africa or anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to make sure that we promote, we guard against those that might want to disrupt, to destabilize our continent, especially in SADC. It has been regarded as a peaceful one, despite the fact that in Mozambique and there, DRC and all these other things, you know. But anyway, there is conflict. So it affects us.
Now,
so we seriously need to teach more, especially the civic education. It's also necessary for adults, not only the young ones. This morning we were talking about the basic what and all this other thing. The primary way they want to ensure that people understand the basic issues on the ground.
Well, come again. I'm not getting you.
What I'm saying is that I was listening this morning when you just came in.
No, I
people were talking about the basic education, you know, that level.
It was Ghana which stated that from this month they are using local languages to educate their children, especially at primary education. If you are teaching natural science, you must teach natural science in Koeko, Hwabo, Shiwambo, so people understand.
And our problem, our challenge is that we don't have more teachers who are qualified in that our indigenous language.
But why can't you have teachers qualified in an indigenous language if you speak at home?
They think that maybe when they get to university, do you know when those who are now at the level of that, at university level, you only find two, three students who are now learning and specializing in that language.
But now, is that now not an opportunity? Because the studies are saying UNESCO, World Bank indicate that children can be able to learn faster and with confidence when they are learning in their vernacular languages. Look at China and Japan.
Very much.
Yeah.
So it's because if you don't know some of these concepts, development concepts in your own language.
Even algebra.
You think it will be difficult for you now to translate those things.
It's
good that you know your things. So you know them.
Yeah.
The development must be spent that within your local language.
Okay.
So thank you very much, David. Let's continue hammering on that indigenous language. Even our indigenous law, you know very well that we are actually lagging behind.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, it's 51 minutes past the hour of 1. It's 51 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 9 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Before we give the mic to Big Mike, however, you can still engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. And, today we are speaking about how do we support domestic businesses. We should stop, this thing of negotiating and somebody's already struggling. Let us pay the full price and also respect that of who we are buying from. Has kids to feed, has family to support, and also has university to pay. You will be surprised. You know, if you attend universities, graduation or college graduations, you will be also shocked to see the testimonies of people to say, if it was not because of my father who was selling tomatoes, if it was not because of my father who was making shoes or repairing shoes, if it was not because of my mom who wake up at 4 o'clock, I wouldn't be here. But you understand that had it not been the resilient, had it not been the coming back from failure, because this person has to navigate the setback that are set by us ordinary people also to say, instead of you buying full price, you negotiate, but what you are wearing something that you bought for 20,000 from a shop that you do not even know where it's made from, but buying something from a local business, it's just painful to give that full amount. It's really taking us backward when it comes to where we want to go. So that is a conversation. Other part of the conversation also is heaped in the language, the domestic language, to say other countries like Ghana. And Ghana has always been setting the pace. When you look at the African Union, when you look at Pan-Africanism, when you look at African Continental Free Trade Area, when you look at African unity and the agenda of uniting Africans in economic development, those were the foundation of not only people from Ghana, but championed by leaders from Ghana, the Kwame Nkrumah, them, and many others. But when you look at redefining the future of education, the Ghana education minister said, no, we have started to teach in local languages, particularly primary education, because it's very clear that those developed countries. Now, if you are in UK, for example, which one are you going to call a local language in UK? If you are in China, which one are you going to call a local language? I know there are various dialects, but the people meet at a level where they understand, at a level where they meet their culture, meet their language and their identity. That's why it's very difficult to make these people hate their countries. If Namibian go to Dubai and you meet her or him Dubai. They do not even want to say they are coming from Namibia. Even the way they speak, the way they walk, they do not want, because they are completely detached. Because one of the things that could have assist in aligning with the person is the language and the identity of the person. But they are completely detached. But somebody, one of my guests at one point say, no, you look, for example, Chinese, wherever they are, they speak about the pride of Chungu, pride of China, and they know they are various because they were educated there in the language that they understand. That's why they become very competitive. Look at the competition between China and the United States of America. All the sectors, from economy, sport, innovation, trade, all the sectors, one-on-one, engineering, military capabilities, everywhere. These people have a competitive advantage because it was easier for them to develop because they know their language, and they also integrate traditional medicine into their modern medicine. That's why there is nothing they cannot do. There is no disease they cannot diagnose, and their operations, medical operation, is highly sophisticated. That's why that is the conversation. And now, moving forward, how are you going to? And it's also a matter of mindset, because the way we look at the economy, we should not only look at ourselves. We should also be able to look beyond ourselves to say, what am I doing when I'm not buying at a standard price? What am I doing when I'm not paying this taxi driver $13? When I'm coming from a shop, I bought, a shopping of 2,000, but I negotiate with this person who just wants $13 from me to take me to another place safely. You are coming from a bar and you've been buying drinks for $500. Then you're negotiating with a taxi driver, only have $9. What a disrespect to the domestic economy. And this person has to go and report to somebody and collect money and give to somebody and get paid. But just think about that to say, it's not correct at all. It's not correct. You are coming to a certain bar, you have been buying Hennessy and all those things, but you find the meme who is selling Kapana, then you are negotiating. No, meme, I only have, instead of me paying $20 for that piece, meme gave you $15. But what a disrespect to our, and an insult to our own self. Because sometimes it's us who are putting ourselves backward. If you just look at domestic businesses and calculate how much credit they are owed, those people could have bought planes already. Those people could have built structures. But let us find a way and respect our domestic business, our MSMEs, not only the smaller ones, until to the level, don't just buy, don't negotiate because you know somebody, buy at the standard price so we can move forward. So, dear listeners, we are coming to the end of our conversation, especially when it's coming to Early Morning Scoop. And on this note, I will leave you in the good hands of Big Mike. Big Mike, because we have the mic that we are sending to, that we are transferring to Wandangwa for unpacking the day. It's a big mic who is going to operate the small mic so that, we we'll unpack the day and also see what have been happening, what is, history telling us, and also what are some of the key development. And yeah, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around. So, Mike, take the mic, and, sharp.